Robert.
Yeah, Robert.
I'd like to thank my my sponsor for volunteering me to speak up here. Pushing me out of my comfort zone, doing something different. Thank all you guys for coming up here. Grateful that I have the opportunity to speak. Why am I here? I'm in this chair today because, my parents, my mom, everything, you know, she used drugs. It was all her fault. My dad, he was never around growing up. He was always working. It's his fault. My grandparents, they picked favorites. It's always their fault. It's everybody's fault but mine, you know. Growing up, I didn't understand that I used all these crutches in my life. I used all that shit as a crutch forever, you know. My mom being an addict and my family growing up in that lifestyle, it was a part of me. It was what I did. I didn't know how to get out of that. I didn't know how to take responsibility for my own actions and grow up, you know. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I was a child. I didn't know how to be a responsible adult, you know. When I came to recovery, I was looking to be a better father, a better brother, a better son, a better uncle. I wanted these things in my life, but I didn't know how to be them, you know. And just coming here and working this program is constantly teaching me how I can become better at all of those things. And, you know, that process is long, and it's a tough one, and it's constantly changing, and that's every day, you know. I just love coming to these things and getting to meet all these different people. And, you know, last year was rough. But man, you know, a big part of my life today is really helping other addicts, you know. I remember when I first, when I made the decision to get clean and go to rehab, I remember sitting on that stoop outside at the rehab center, and I just felt so alone and by myself. I didn't feel like I was understood ever. I always felt different. I didn't fit into any clique. I was always over here and over here and over here. Whatever part I had to play to fit into that group I was with that night, that's what I played, you know. And I never fit in anywhere. So when I, you know, when I was at that rehab, I didn't think I was one of us. I was there and I'm like, man, I didn't do this. I wasn't as bad as this guy. And, you know, sitting there, and there's people that came along the way, you know, when I was sitting on that stoop that day, and I was seeing them having fun and laughing. Mm. And I was like, man, I don't know what they got, but I want that. And, you know, I tried changing jobs. I tried changing where I live. Did all that shit before I got here, you know, and I blamed all of it. I blamed it on my girlfriend. Blamed it, you know, my kid. I gotta use drugs because I can't take care of my kid. You know, I gotta have this stuff to fucking stay awake and be a better, you know. Any excuse that I, in the book that I ever come up with, I used it. And, you know, got me to that point where, like I said, I felt alone and I needed help. And that was the first part of me getting clean, was that finally just laying down that sword and saying, I'm done. I'm done fighting this. I don't know what I need to do, but what I'm doing right now is not working, you know. That's the only thing that, you know, I'm a pretty simple man, and the facts of the matter is that the life I was living was just leading me to misery. Every day I woke up miserable, and it just kept going. Next day was more miserable than the last one, and wasn't getting any better. So, you know, coming into rehab there, I had people that came up and picked me up and guided me along the way, and I still keep in touch with my one friend today. And, you know, he really boosted me up when I didn't have any confidence in myself. When I was in high school, I couldn't even public speak in front of a class mm-hmm. about an answer. I could know this answer 200%. I could go home and I could read out of the book. I would know it. And for me to get up in front of the class and tell it was like pulling teeth, man. There's no way. Like, public speaking, talking in front of people was my number one fear. You know, and here I am today sitting here talking. And it's crazy. But, you know, when I to get out of that comfort zone, I had people that walked alongside me and said, you can do this, man. You know, you can do it. And I remember, like, thinking, yeah, maybe I can do this, you know. they were up there talking in front of 70, 80 people, and I'm like, son of a bitch, you know? Johnny Boy gets up there and does it, why can't I? So I started doing it, you know? I had to get out of my comfort zone. And that was when I first started seeing this spark in the true heart of the NA program for me, was that, you know, there's people that helped me along the way, and then there's people that come before me that I was able to help. And that is why I still come to Narcotics Anonymous, is because I know, I don't know when, but I know there's going to be an act that walks through that door. It's going to go through the same exact shit I went through. And lucky for me, I found a way out, you know. Not me. The God of my understanding helped me find a way out. He placed people in my life at the time I needed them to get me out of situations. Now once I put the drugs down, it left me the freedom to have a choice, you know. And at first it was just about abstaining from putting the chemicals in my body. And that's all I did when I first got here. And I'm here to tell you that it wasn't a drug problem I had, it was a me problem. Once the drugs were gone, I was left with me, and I didn't know how to deal with me. I was a pissed off son of a bitch every day. And I was angry. I was angry at the world. I was angry at myself mostly. And, you know, I acted out on that shit. And it was bad. It got me into some trouble in my early recovery. So there I am thinking, I'm clean. Everything's supposed to be good. And my life's supposed to change. What's going on? And I found out real quick that I had to do some work on the inside, you know. The not using the drugs was just the first small step of what this program was to me. And it took a constant change in my attitudes, thoughts, and behaviors for me to get sitting in this chair today. You know, talking about the people that I was able to help, you know, along the way. One of my best friends from childhood, he ended up going through exact situation that I went through in my early recovery. And I was about probably 7-8 months clean, and he comes into the program. He wasn't even in the program yet. He'd call me because he knew I was getting my shit together, and we'd talk. And I was like, man, you know, really should think about checking yourself into rehab, and if you really want to do this, you know what I mean, you distance yourself, and you get out and come to meetings with me. And I brought him to a couple meetings, and he ended up, you know, from the meetings, getting a little seed planted. And he's like, you know, I want to try this. And he went and went to rehab, come home, and man, he was on a really good track. But it was like, that was the first time in my life that I really saw the power of what helping another addict in this program can do. Like, not just for the addict itself, but for me as well. The spiritual growth I gained from trying to guide somebody through this process is like, it's untouchable, you know? There's no better feeling that I found on this earth than going to a recovery house and speaking, or speaking at a home group, or just picking up the phone and talking to a recovering addict that's struggling. There's no drug out there that touches that feeling for me. There's nothing, you know? And, you know, he didn't stick around, but I learned valuable lessons from that man. When he sees me today, he always comes up and talks to me. You know, there's a certain level of respect there, but that's, you know, that's my life today. That's my program, and that's why, you know, I still go to meetings, and I'm working 60 hours a week. I'm a single dad. I started training for ultra marathons, and like, my life is just so full today. It's a life beyond my wildest dreams. They used to tell me that in rehab, and I'm like, you guys are so full of shit. So full of shit, you know? I didn't think it was possible. Like, my life at that time sucked. I woke up every day, like I said, just miserable. And 2 short years later, here I am, you know? It's truly unbelievable. You know, I'm here with my best friend and my sponsor, who's also my best friend, which, you know, having my best friend in the program, that was another situation where God put somebody in my life at a time when I needed somebody. When I first started coming around, our area was very small. And we'd go out to the meeting, everybody would go home. And I'm like, what in the fuck? I'm like, it's Friday night. Like, I have this mindset of go. Like, I'm energetic, I like to go do stuff, I like to hang out, I like to go running, hiking, biking, kayaking. Doesn't matter, something, you know? And I was like, man, like what? You guys don't do nothing around here? So I started making it happen, you know? We didn't have it. I wanted it. We made shit happen. We started going bowling every Friday. We'd take trips up to Williamsport and go to meetings up there, hang out with those guys, go to Halloween parties. Like, we started doing all kinds of shit. And I needed that, you know? And then, you know, I'm doing this shit. I'm getting a base established. I'm figuring out recovery a little bit in my short 6 months I was there. And then, like, there wasn't a bunch of younger people that like to do things that I like to do, you know? And so God's like, here you go. And puts my best friend in my life, which we were almost brothers at one point. And I walked into the gym the one morning, he was in there, and I caught wind that he just went to rehab, came home. I was like, how you doing, Mike? And he just comes over and spills the beans and tells me he just went to rehab, and he's all scared, he doesn't know what to do. And, you know, I was there, I was like, come with me, buddy, I'll show you a way. You know, at that point I had a solid foundation, I had a sponsor, I was in service, and, you know, like I said, I was doing shit. I was doing stuff that I needed to do to grow my recovery. And what that did too is also allow me to bring other people along in this process. You know, without establishing that base and that foundation and building what our recovery system needed up there, there wouldn't have been anything for the new guy to come to. So we're constantly doing stuff, you know. And then shortly after that, COVID happened. All the meetings shut down. And like I said, at that point, I had a pretty good foundation, and I was okay, you know, for a little while. And I was like, man, I feel horrible for these new guys. Like, what about them, you know? If I didn't have a meeting to go to every night when I first got clean, I wouldn't fucking be sitting here, you know? And all the meetings shut down, so we had like rogue campfire meetings, and I got in touch with this group, you know, up the road, and we hung out every single night. And we made meetings happen at my friend's backyard, and we go night swimming, and like, there's another hurdle in this process that we just overcame, because, you know, we had to. There's no choice. Either do that or live a miserable life. And like, I didn't get clean to live a miserable life, you know, and that's, I'm living today. And I was just talking to a guy down there at that last meeting about, like, I love my family, love them to death. I cannot hang out with them all the time. Can't do it. Just because I'm on a different level anymore. Like, where this program is taking me, it's on a level of growth, spiritual growth, physical growth, mental growth. I'm looking for more, you know? I'm always aspiring to be better than I was yesterday. And there's a lot of people that I love and I cherish and I hold deeply in my heart that just aren't there. And I need to surround myself constantly with people who care about that and they want to be better and they're trying to be better, you know? I'm a product of my environment. I can't hang out with people who are using if I don't want to use. It's the same with the mental shit for me. If I hang out with negative people, I'm going to be negative. You know, I need to surround myself with that positive atmosphere of people that want to grow, you know? And there's a lot of us out there in Narcotics Anonymous. I can go to any meeting all over the place and find people that are just like me, you know? We all have a common interest, a common bond. You know, we come here and talk about ourselves and get honest. And, like, I love that. And, I absolutely love when somebody with a lot of clean time comes in and just spills their beans everywhere, just lets it all out, you know? Because I respect that, because I know how hard it is after you get some time under your belt and you helped a couple people come into a meeting and share what's really going on, you know? I feel like you get put on this little pedestal and it's tough to talk about stuff sometimes. And like, that's not me. I try to remain 100% transparent, like try to be honest. If I'm going through some shit, I come in, I let it out, you know? And as long as I've been in recovery, I've been doing that. It works. It's been working for me, you know? I don't want to try a different way. I'll try that till it doesn't work. And, you know, there's different stages so far in my recovery. What I did when I first got clean is completely different to what I do now, you know? And it's crazy seeing the growth between just the beginning of working a step to the end of working a step. Like, we just went over step, my sponsor today, and I'm picking up my paper and I'm reading what I wrote, and this was just like a couple months prior, and I'm like, oh shit, man, I don't even want to read this to you, you know? It's like, man, but you know, that working the steps in this program just, it helps my brain, it helps that shit click in there, and you know, really, really helps me take off in this program and excel. And like I said about, you know, just trying not to be and get clean, just to be miserable. And like I see a lot of people that just go to meetings and they're not living, they're not having any of these hobbies. And like for me, you know, physical exercise and taking care of my body in itself, that's mental for me. That's 100% mental thing. And I think a lot of us lax on that part, and it could be very essential. Like I know, like I said, for me, my program didn't really take off until I started grasping that concept. And you know, just as of recently, I've made some drastic changes in my life. I delete social media, I stopped watching TV, I started reading books, and like my level of freedom has just expanded. My mind's just grown so much, and it is just like an insane feeling to have. And like I've just like lately just been like, I don't know, I've just been pushing people to try to show them that there is more, you know what I mean? There's always more. Like, you get out of this program what you put in, you know? If you wake up 20 minutes earlier, that's 20 minutes of a day. You build that time up over a long period of time. That's a lot of fucking time that you could use to really better yourself, you know, whether you're reading the Just for Today, you're reading a book, whether you're just doing push-ups, doing sit-ups. There's, you know, it's very simple, and that's what this program is. It's very simple. And you know, I gotta keep coming back because, like I said, there's people who need me. There's people who need this program in their life, and I wanna tell everybody about it, you know? So I'm gonna keep coming back, and you know, I'm really grateful I had the opportunity to speak up here. So that's all I got.
Thank you.
Sharing, Robert. I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Angela D. from the Back to the Basics group of NA in the Chicago area of NA.
Thank you. I want to thank the committee for asking me to come out and share. I want to thank everybody that's part of it because I know it takes a lot to put on a retreat. Thank you for your service work. And it was so ironic that how I got here, because you know, I've never been to a retreat in the woods, first of all. So this is another clean experience. So why are we here? Because I was going to have this opportunity. And when I first came around, I remember Why Are We Here was one of my favorite chapters. You know, it talks about before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our lives. We put using the head of everything, you know, children, whatever. And now, although I've been around a few 24 hours, I realize that I still have to keep coming back because I said, after using, the fun was gone. And recovery is a lot of work. And so why I'm here is because I still can't manage my life sometimes. And not using, you know, I still can't manage my emotions. Like, I'm here, this is new for me. I expected some different things, but you know, I have to keep coming back. I'm in the woods. There's some tents here. We're in the mountains. I just remember, you know, coming up here, and I was like, wow, this is just so different for me. But as I was listening to Robert share, and he just touched on so many similarities, and that's the beauty about this program. You know, we look at the similarities and not the differences. And so in my mind, when I was at a meeting earlier today, I was thinking, well, people aren't that friendly, so maybe I should be friendly. You know, maybe I should introduce myself. And so I had to get that out of the way because that was in my mind and in my spirit, and I did not want to carry that on. But I do know that this program don't discriminate. You know, we don't care how much you use, where you came from, what color you are, any of that. We have two things in common, which is addiction and recovery. And that keeps me here. That's why I'm here. I'm here because I still can't manage my life. When I came around, I thought it was about walking back and forth to the coffee pot. I didn't even drink coffee. But because, I'm serious, I didn't even drink coffee, but because I thought I needed to fit in, I kept walking back and forth to the coffee pot. Because remember, before I got here, that's all I did was use. That's all I did was hang around people that were like me. So now I'm in a place that people are doing something different, and I have to figure out how that works. So I kept hearing them say, why are we here? Because our lives was unmanageable. We couldn't stop using drugs. And so now I come around, I get a sponsor. I have a book, but I don't read it. I just go to meetings, you know. but I kept coming back, and then I figured out why we were here. Because at some point, I was gonna get into a relationship and not know how to manage my emotions. At some point, I was gonna have to realize that I had two children I hadn't been a mother to. At some point, I was gonna wanna not work the steps and just have a program, and that wasn't gonna be enough. When life on my terms kicked in, it wasn't gonna be enough. It wasn't gonna be enough to know after I got married that the marriage would be severed and I still have to be a mother to these two children. And I didn't wanna do that. So my life was still unmanageable and I hadn't used anything. So why are we here, for me, has always been personal. Because it reminds me that I can't do the things that I used to do. I have to change. The program talks about changing everything. That I was gonna have some life on lifetime experiences. I was gonna go to a meeting and sit at the back and talk and not hear the speaker. And then need something later on, whatever that speaker said. Or at some point I was gonna have to share my experience, strength and hope. So I had to move from the back of the meeting to the front of the meeting and start listening to what they said, how this thing works. Why are we here? Because we're here because we share our experience, strength and hope. And I came around, I've been around a few 24 hours. I came around in 1989. And it wasn't a lot of meetings. And there wasn't a lot of women too, so I couldn't identify. You know, and then there was a lot of, I don't know they call it 12 step and 13 step. And there was a lot of that going on, you know, and the program talks about you have to change everything. And I still had those manipulative behaviors, so, you know, I had to keep coming back so I could figure out why I'm here. And it's so I could recover, so I could go home and manage my life with these two children that I had at that time. To be a mother, to not hide out in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. To learn how to work, balance a checkbook. Well, manage my money, just manage my emotions was a lot. So I had to keep coming back and it kind of worked out. So why I'm here now is because after 32 years in recovery, I'm still trying to figure out how it works in certain areas. Robert talked about, you know, you have different levels and different stages of recovery. I'm in a different journey in my recovery right now where I've lost a girlfriend to COVID. The pandemic came. I was in the house by myself with a six-year-old. My daughter got killed in 2019. My whole life changed, and I realized why I was here. So when I got clean, it just wasn't for me. Can you imagine where my granddaughter would be today if I was still using? That's why I'm here, because we do recover. And I was just thinking how angry and I was. You know, I didn't want to start all over again. I wanted to be a jet setter. I wanted to make meetings and do whatever. But my life dictated something different. I had to take care of this child. So that's why I'm here, because I have to still figure out how to manage my life and my emotions. Yeah, using is not a part of my story right now, but it's the man thing. It's my thinking. If I don't watch my thinking, it will put me in places that I don't want to be in, mentally and emotionally. So that's why I'm here, you know, because this program works. It's been proven. It's proven. I'm in the mountains today. 32 years in the woods where there's tents. There's real tents out there. And I just say that because it's such a new experience for me. And so I'm grateful that to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. So that reminds me why I'm here. Because I get an opportunity to come to Pennsylvania in the woods, share my experience, strength, and hope, and talk about how this program worked for me. I do a lot of service work too. So I know what it means to, I know how much effort and time goes into putting on retreats and conventions. I'm the chairperson in our regional in Chicago. So I'm the chairperson of the region. So that's a big old meeting, huge, about 5,000 people or more that comes every year. And the reason I'm a part of that is because I kept coming back. Because I remembered why I was here, because I couldn't manage my life. I couldn't use and act right prior to coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm grateful to have an opportunity to just keep giving back, because this program has given me so much. Why am I here? Because 32 years later, I was gonna have to figure out how to not be angry, how to be forgiving, how to raise a child and not beat myself up about that my daughter is gone. And that I don't have a connection with my sons now, because it's hard. My daughter was like the glue between the three children that I have. And so the program helps me to manage all of that without using people, places, or things. Because although I have a few 24 hours clean, I can still go back to some of my sickest behaviors. If I don't watch it, if I don't come into a room of Narcotics Anonymous and figure out and listen to why are we here? Why are we here? Because before coming to the fellowship, I could not manage drugs. The using part that was fun had dissipated. It was no fun no more. I was just going through the motions. And I remember my girlfriend came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I didn't have any connection with her, but I wanted to come in. And of course, back then it was you people, right? And so I came in, I didn't use for that day. I'm gonna go to their meeting. And that worked. And unfortunately, she stopped coming to the rooms and I stayed here. So like Robert stated, you know, I was able to give back to somebody because she helped me in my recovery. And I'm grateful about that. So why are we here? Because it keeps reminding me of that any addict, I don't care how much clean time you have, you can mess around and use it. We don't practice this way of life. Implement these steps, these principles. Utilize sponsorship, the writing, all of that. That works for me. Why am I here? Because my sponsor got on my nerves before I got here. And I didn't talk to her. Look, she got on my nerves, you know, my girlfriend died from COVID and I had some feelings and emotions about it and I just thought she didn't understand, so I have to keep coming back because, again, my life was unmanageable and I hadn't used anything, but my emotions had taken over because it's the behavior part. It was more so about the behavior than it was the using. And so I have to remind myself, that's why you're here, because you still need a sponsor, Angela. You still can go nuts, Angela. You still can be judgmental if you don't watch it, Angela. Your opinion, you don't have no opinion on outside issues. And I had a whole lot of opinions, and she wouldn't listen to me. She wouldn't listen. That's why I'm here. I have to keep coming back so I can stay plugged in. So I've been thinking about her and thinking, that's how this program works. It's so, you know, because the disease is so insidious, the program says, but you have to do the right thing for the right reason. And I said, well, I need to call her. And I haven't called her yet, but I'm going to call her. Because I haven't talked about it so much since I've been here. But that's what happens when the recovery seed is planted. So you do, I have remembered why I'm here. I'm not one of those people that have a little clean time and don't come in and share honestly what's going on with me. I share everything. Share everything, use about nothing, share about everything. Because I used to live like the CIA. I told nothing. I didn't know nothing. I don't know nothing. I didn't see nothing. Right. And I didn't do nothing. But then when you come here in the rooms of Narcotics, well, you have to do something. You have to have an open mind. You got to be willing. You got to trust somebody. I didn't trust people. But now that I've had an opportunity to reap some of the benefits of this program, I remember why I'm here. Because it works. This program actually works. And I'm still struggling with raising an 8-year-old now who thinks she's 18 and she wants to tell me what to do. You know, because for me, my experience in raising children is different now. I raised my children and now I'm raising my daughter's child, and some days I don't feel like doing all that. Some days I don't want to practice recovery. Some days I don't want to be responsible. Some days I don't want to pay the bill. Some days, listen, I lied to come here. I called in sick so I can free myself right now. I called in sick at the job. Yes. I did. I called in sick because I had just come off of a vacation, and I'm not trying to justify or rationalize my behavior, but that's why I'm here, because I have to realize that it's those little things that will trip me up if I don't talk about my truth, my honesty, and stay open-minded and willing. So I'm doing a 10th step with you. I'm promptly making an admission that I was wrong. So that let me clear the air with that. And I'm just grateful to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And going through COVID, whoever thought we would be in a pandemic and didn't use? I didn't use. And I stayed in the house a couple of weeks, like a long time after they put us on, you know, when you was working remotely and all that. So it was different. And I had gotten tired of Zoom meetings, so that's why I'm here, because I needed to stay plugged in. Because for myself, I'll forget that I need to make meetings. I find myself, after the death of my daughter, I'm not a social, because you know, social susceptibility does not equal recovery. And I used to socialize a lot, and I realize I really don't do that as often as I was prior to my daughter getting killed. I make meetings, you know, every now and then, and when I make them, I get what I need. I really get what I need. You know, somebody talks about or say something that helps me in my recovery for that day. And then I'll share, and then I realize where I'm at. oh, you needed to share. You ain't made no meetings, Angela. You're not journaling, you're not talking. You're doing surface stuff now. You know, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm okay. But that's why I'm here, because I'm able to come back and be totally honest about where I'm at and what's going on with me. I've gone through a lot in these last 10 years. You know, I've done a lot, you know. At 32 years, you get a lot of experiences, and some of them were not great at all, period. I mean, they were really, really hard, but I didn't use. And I came back and I talked about it. I didn't use, that's the thing. I did not use, because it said before coming to the fellowship, we could not manage our life, and the fun of it had left. I think the fun left way before I even knew it was gone, after that first one. And so that's why I'm here, because this program works, because it helps me right now today. And like Robert said, if I got up 20 minutes earlier today, then that was 20 minutes more that I poured into my recovery today. And I got up, and you know, I rehearsed this lead like I always do in my mind. And I didn't say anything that I came up with earlier today. Because I walked, you know, because I'm like, oh, we out here in nature, you know, I'm going to get it. It's all going to come together out here. I came in this room, and they were having a meeting with the panel, and I'm sitting here like, oh, Lord, I got to leave. I got to walk back and come back in here, you know. So I'm grateful to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful that we have the chapters. I'm grateful for the program that's in the book, and that the fellowship supports that, you know, because I remember walking around with that book and I never read it. And then some Life on Life Terms stuff came up. Then I said, ooh, maybe I should get a sponsor. They suggested that maybe that's a good idea. And then I got a sponsor, but I thought that I knew more than she did, so I sabotaged the relationship right away. So, you know, the tools of the program definitely works. The sponsor that I have now, I probably had her about 15 years. I'm grateful for everybody that has played a part in my recovery, because it all has come together to this point where I could be in the mountains, in the woods, giving a lead and being grateful. So that's why I'm here, because this program works. It's a program that keeps on giving. I've had the opportunity to witness the benefits of this program. Because I remember not listening to the speakers. I remember cross-talking in the back. I remember walking back and forth to the coffee pot. Look, it was all about me. You know, my disease is self-centered. Walk back and forth to the coffee pot. You don't drink coffee, but somebody's gonna see you. So that's why I'm here, because I know recovery is an inside job. It's a personal job, you know. And I'm willing to do the work. And I'm just willing to be of service, because service work definitely keeps me connected, and it keeps me being selfless. That's what service work does for me. Do I want to be, I'm stepping away from the regional commitment after this year. I've been on our regional board for 15 years. I am tired. It's time for somebody else to come on in, do some service work. You know, I'm still just a member. I don't need a title to support that convention. But I would like for you all to come out if you want. I got registrations and everything. So that's why I'm here, to continue to carry the message and to tell you that this program does work. So thank you.